Blog Talk Radio. morning, everyone. I love that song. Yes. Victory belongs. And it goes on to say, victory belongs to you. Victory belongs to you. Yes, God. Good evening. We give all the victory to Jesus this evening. We give him all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, because in spite of what you're going through, in spite of what it looks like and what it feels like, I promise you, if you just hold on just a little while longer, as they used to say, if you just trust in him, I declare that you will have the victory. God's word is true. He's a man that he should not lie. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy, victory is going to come in the morning. He has promised. He said, count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations, because knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, which means that patience is part of that victory. It is part of that reward for endurance. So we thank and praise God this evening. I was thinking earlier today, I said, you know, true friends don't talk much and they see each other hardly, but they are always there for one another. So I thank and praise God that you are all still praying for me and still loving on me. And God is just doing some great and awesome things. Today is 90 days that I've been married, so you just got to give us a little bit more time to learn how to balance everything that we have between work and ministries and family and different things. But I am yet still here, yet still loving on the Now family, yet still loving on Pastor E. I will get out to California soon. So that is always still in my plan. Nothing has changed at all when it comes to my family here on the broadcast. So I want to get into a word with you this evening that I know is going to bless you. I'm going to give you a forewarning. It's all vegetables. There's no dessert in this. This is all that healthy stuff that's good for you that you don't like to eat. So if you don't like to eat your veggies, then you're going to have a tough time chewing on this word this evening. But the doctor always said that, you know, if you eat your green vegetables, it helps to flush out your system. And this message might just be that type of message that we need to flush out everything that is not of God. So let's go into prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this evening. We come to you humbly bowed, hearts, minds, and spirit, O God, exalting you high above anything and everything, Lord, giving you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that your spirit is everywhere. So I'm asking, Lord, that your spirit be with the listeners right now from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the North and to the South, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you be in their home. I ask that you be in their life and be in their situation, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking that you break up the fallow ground on our hearts, Lord, that we receive this word, Lord, that you're trying to plant in us, oh God, because you only want the best for us, Lord. You only want us to grow. You only want us to develop and have a deeper relationship with you, Lord. And you also want us to be effective in our purpose, Lord, that we're here on earth. So, God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word of love. We also thank you for your word of correction. And, God, we're going to give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, Lord. Please word my mouth and my lips. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to do the word a little bit on today. We're going to walk through one of the stories of the Bible, one that I don't like calling them stories, one of the encounters, factual encounters of the Bible. And I want to talk today, the title of this message is The Do's and Don'ts and Blessings of Obedience. The Do's, the Don'ts, and the Blessings of Obedience. Now, you have to walk with me on this one and allow me to flow with the story of Abraham in order to bring this word together. So you know that the story of Abraham starts in Genesis chapter 12. So I'll be going there and I'll be doing kind of a read on, because what I really need you to see is there are steps to obedience. There are steps in order to obedience. And then there's ways that you can get out of order in those same steps when it comes to obedience. So obedience starts with a command or instruction or a word. We all know, you know, most of the time when you think of obedience or you think of training, two things you think of is children and you think of dogs. So, you know, if your dog went to obedience school, you sent them to obedience school because you wanted him or her to learn the proper commands and how to react to those commands. And then, of course, when we talk about children, we want them to be obedient to what? To what we say, to the rules that we have, to the instruction that we have. So there has to be verbal, hear what I'm saying, there has to be verbal communication in order for them to, for it to even have something to be obedient to, or for us or a human to have obedience to. So again, there has to be verbal communication in order for there to be something to be obedient to. So let's talk Bible today. The story of Abraham, let's look at how it started, and let's look for the instructions in there that he was to obey, that was given for him to obey. So we're going to look at that. And I want you, you probably already going to preach part of this for me because you're going to know where I'm going. But we're going to tie it all in because remember, there's do's to obedience, there's don'ts to obedience, and there's blessings to obedience. So Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you.'" So we're going to stop there. So again, he said to Abram, "Leave your country, relatives, father's family, and go to the land that I will show you." That was it. That was all. Okay. Now, if that was any of us, that didn't sound like enough. We needed all 12 steps to, okay, so you want me to go where, and you want me to do what, and how am I going to know that I'm there, and what's going to happen when I get there? You see what I'm saying? God spoke something very simple: leave and go. And so the two instructions, though, so let's look at it, though. Let's look at verse 1. He gave him two instructions in that text. The first one was leave your family. And then the second instruction was go. So now let's see, was Abraham obedient, or Abram at the time? So let me put his proper name during this time. Abram, was he obedient to the two things that God spoke? He only had, listen, only had two things to do. You know, as a mother, you'd be like, you only had two things to do. You had to go in there, clean up your room, and wash the dishes. You only had two things to do, and if you would have done those two things, then you would have been able to go do X, Y, Z. Only two things. I didn't give you a whole list or anything, so God gave him two things. So now let's go to Genesis, the same chapter 12. Let's drop down to verse 4. So was Abram obedient to those two things? Let's take a look. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed. Okay, good. All right, so he did the go part. And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. So, Abraham picked up his things and he left, cool. But that was part two of the command, which was the go. Part one said, leave your family. So he started out half obeying. And we'll see later how full obedience is required, or else there's going to be trouble that you're going to run into. Okay. So he did half of what he was to do in that two-step command. He only did one out of the two. So The first thing, again, so we're going to label these number one. So number one is there has to be obedience starts with a command, instruction, or a word given. Okay, so obedience start, that's number one. Obedience starts with a command, instruction, or a word given. And we know that naturally, and now we know from God spiritually. So the second thing, let's talk about this obedience, still in the same story. We're not going to move from it because, again, we want to walk. Was Abram obedient all the way to what God has said? So number two says, never abort God's plan under no circumstance. Never abort God's plan or his instruction. Never abort his instruction under no circumstance, okay? So, you know, we give instruction, and then people want to put their own twist to it. No, that's not what he said. Or, well, I couldn't do that right now because something else came up. No, you can't do that with God. Never abort the instruction. Obey it to its fullest when it comes to God. Okay, so God said, go to the land, what? I will show you. So let's jump down to verse 5 through 9 when it comes to that. It says, Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of More at Shechem. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went towards the hill east of Bethel, which means church, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward Negev. So far, so good. Abram made it to the place that God showed him. And how did he know? Because God appeared. God appeared, and then God spoke again. Okay, you at the land, and this is the land that I'm going to give your descendants. And his word came to pass. This is a great spot right here, just to end the story. And then we can just go straight to Isaac, right? But after Abram arrived, there was a famine in the land. So he got to the land. And then there was a famine. So this is where I'm talking about aborting, okay? So you can't abort the instruction because, again, listen, I'm trying not to talk too fast. I'm learning. God gave him instruction. Go to the land what I will show you. God did not send an angel. God did not send another burning bush. God didn't send a mule to speak for him. God showed up himself and told him, you're here. And you're here in the place not only where you dwell, but your descendants will dwell. And he heard God, saw God, because he appeared, saw God, and then Abram did what? He began to worship him. Now, after God has given you instruction and then God manifests that instruction in your life and you know that it was God that manifested that instruction in your life, you cannot now turn your back on God and abort what he said. So in verse 10, it says, now there was famine in the land and Abram went down to Egypt to live there for a while, because the famine was severe. We don't know how long after he got to the land that God showed him that then the famine came. So we don't know if, you know, Sarai at the time went on and bought some furniture for the house, or Abraham was planning his next housing project. We don't know how long, but we know that a famine did come. And but all we know that after the promise came the famine. Now, being obedient doesn't mean that it's going to be easy street. Okay, well, I done arrived. You know, God told me to come to this land. I'm good. I'm just going to chill. we know that there's always going to be tests from God that comes and, of course, attack from the enemy, okay? So even when you make it or even when you have arrived to one level of where God has taken you or wanted to take you, please don't pull out the recliner and chill. This is the time now to still be on guard, on lookout, prayed up, fasted up, and everything, because you still understand that there's going to be opposition that comes. But you cannot abort what God told you to do. So, again, I was talking to my husband this morning about the pain of patience. And, you know, the pain of patience, and the only way I could look at it is that, you know, a woman that is pregnant with a baby, she already knows. Listen, not even a doctor even have to tell her. It's known across the world, globe, that it takes 9 months. I don't care where you live at. I don't care what country you in. I don't care what ethnicity you in. I don't care how old you are. None of that. It has been set that it takes 9 months for a human to birth a baby. And so at the end of that 9 months, she knows that her promise is coming. But the pain that you must endure before the baby, and then on top of that, listen, then pain after the baby, because, you know, I got grown kids, and they still put me through a little pain. So even with that, you know that you are going to receive this promise, but you still know that you're going to have to go through trying times. What Abraham did is not the answer to when unexpected circumstance arrives. When unexpected circumstance arrives, you cannot quit. You can't change your mind all of a sudden. You can't go another direction. You can't. You have to stay in the will of God. Verse 10 again said that he went down to Egypt. He went from trusting God to leaning onto his own plan and understanding. Okay, I think I just hit somebody right there because I had to pause. He went from trusting God to creating his own plan and say, this is what we get ready to do. And it said the word did not, and the word didn't just say, the word could have just said this, y'all. And then Abraham went to Egypt. And Abraham and Sarah went to Egypt. But it put a detailed word in there, which was down. And they went down to Egypt. Now, some might say, oh, that's just, you know, geographical, you know, terminology, just, you know, as to where he was and where Egypt was. But I'm going to tell you this. Anything outside of the will of God will take you down. How about that? Anything outside of the will of God will take you down. Can anybody in here agree with me? God spoke and you disobey, you're going to go down. I don't have time to tell you all about my down experience, but I know we all have had one, and you can look back and say that there was a time that you disobeyed God, and what? You went down. You went down into a place that you was not supposed to go, where you were not supposed to be, and things happened. And we're getting ready to see that with Abram. You went down to a place that you was not supposed to go, where you were not supposed to be, and things happened. So that's my third point. When you are outside the will of God, you will start to do stupid stuff. I just needed to put it plain. You will start to do stupid stuff. You will start to do, you won't even begin to think, because now when you're out of the will of God, now you have to try to think. And if anybody has a mind like mine, my mind sometimes won't shut off. So therefore, you got all these thoughts coming, and therefore you just start reaching and doing and speaking and saying, and because now you're talking and responding out of your own understanding versus the will of God, the understanding of God gave you peace. It gave you step-by-step instructions on what to do. But when you're outside of the will of God, now you got to come up with your own steps and your own instructions. So before they even entered into Egypt, so this is what happened. This is the crazy thing that Abram did. Before they entered Egypt, Abram came up with another plan. First, the wrong plan to go down to Egypt. Now you want to come up with another plan, and this plan is actually got a lie attached to it. He said to tell Sarai that she, as beautiful as she was, and he didn't want to get killed for it, you're my sister. And I need you to go in here because, you know, they're going to look at you and they're going to find you beautiful and they're going to want to take you from me. And not only is they going to want to take you, but then they're going to try to kill me because they know I'm going to put up a fight for my wife. And then they're going to take all of everything we got, the ox, the sheep, and everything else. So let's just play it off and just say you're my sister. Abram wanted to protect what he had in his life. And it's very interesting. We do the same thing. We will do stupid stuff when we get down out of the will of God to protect our name, our reputation, our material stuff. We'll start doing anything and everything to protect and not lose what we have. When you forgot God gave you what you had, you got to get back in his will in order to maintain and sustain what it is that you have. Disobedience will take you further than where you want to go and keep you longer than you want to stay. And they stayed in Egypt for a little bit, but this part I like. We know what happened. Pharaoh was warned by God in a dream. He was warned by God, the God he did not serve. He was warned by the God he did not serve in a dream. And then, to make a long story short, Pharaoh came to Abram and said, why did you lie to me? I'm going to need you to pack your stuff, and I'm going to need y'all to get out. Send him back to where he was supposed to be in the first place. You know, the world has a way of kicking you out because you don't fit and you don't belong. Hello, somebody. You will try so hard to fit in, but you don't. It took some of us to hear from someone that don't even serve God to get us back to God. I know I said something there. I know I'm right about it. I used to listen how I got saved, even though I grew up in the church and all that other stuff. I don't count those years. When I finally got saved, I got saved because I used to get high with this one lady. And every time after we done getting high, she getting ready to go home on a Saturday night, she said, you coming to church tomorrow? What church you go to? I'm like, no. Like, how you going to ask me, like, I'm sitting up here in cloud number 55, and now you want to ask me about church. And what church you go to that ain't helping you get your life right? Wait. But because of her, I got saved. So understand that you being in the wrong place outside of the will of God, he's going to come and he's going to send somebody. He's going to send a warning. He's going to try to send whatever he can to get you back on the right direction. And please don't miss the sign. Don't miss it. See, now Abram had a big one. It was, hey, you need to get out. You need to go. So that one was huge. He couldn't deny that. But there are sometimes even in our lives that people tell us, you know what, you need to get back to God. You know, they're trying to tell you about your character, or they're trying to tell you about a circumstance that you're in, and, you know, and they're trying to tell you that you need to get out of that, or, you know, they're trying to make some type of subtly, that you need to change your thinking, your actions, your attitude, your circumstance, your situation. What they're trying to do is you need to get back to God. And so you can't miss that. Because when you're disobedient, one thing that I love, listen, the Bible says that God is what? Patient. He is patient, y'all. But please don't think that you got that long to run up the patience meter and want to keep claiming grace and mercy and not get back on the road of obedience. You missing out. And the only reason why I say that, and I'll get to it, is that you're missing out on your blessings by doing that. You're missing out on your blessings by pushing it longer than it needs to be. You want the blessings, you want the life, you want the peace, you want the joy, you want God, you want the spirit, you want the purpose, you want all that, then you need to get in obedience. You are delaying the process. I trust me, I know. I delayed my process for many years. God's still going to get his work out of you, but now my prayer to God has been, Lord, I get it now. I'm so sorry that I wasted so many years, even though they're part of my purpose now. But I am. I'm so sorry I've wasted so many years. Now, God, I'm at a point now where, you know what I'm saying, health issues and don't have the full energy like I used to have and all this other stuff. I don't want to serve you like that. Please restore back to me my youth. Please restore back to me my health, my energy, my joy, and all that so I can give you my whole everything at age 50 until the day I die. But God had called me almost this year, almost 20 years ago. He called me even before that. I used to go to a Lutheran high school, and I was flunking every class but religion. That right there, I would laugh sometimes because I'm like, was that God calling me then? I would always get an A in religion. I would do the work when it came to religion class. I love the Bible. I love the history of the Bible. I would always get an A and barely made out of high school flunking every other subject. So the call of God has been on my life a long time. I'm the one that took the what they say, the 40-year wilderness route. All right, so the next point. This one is a good one. I'm going to stay here a little bit because this one we really truly need to understand. Don't make others suffer because of your disobedience. Don't make others suffer because of your disobedience. Now, if you don't want to obey for yourself or because you love God, then maybe let me help you and trigger something in you to say, you being out of order, you being disobedient, you're causing others to fall. And that's going to be required of you. So after the whole Egypt ordeal, now he's back to where Abram is back to where he's supposed to be. But now it's time to deal with that one part of the command that he disobeyed. And that was Lot. Because of the dispute between their hired servants, they had to part ways. And Lot chose what? The area that was close to Sodom. And we all know what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. God has given us commands that he wants us to obey. Understand those are not only just for self, but also for an example and a leading of others. How you understand what I'm saying? Your obedience, the generation behind you, your children, everyone around you depends upon your obedience. I know that seemed like a lot of weight, but guess what? It's the truth, and I'm going to help you get there in a minute. So I become so more aware of my actions and my reactions. My disobedience to God's word during that time of my life hurt a lot of people. And I pray I cause no one to turn away from God. Seriously, that's my prayer. I'm not saying it has to be yours. But when I realized that I was walking in disobedience and I look back at what my disobedience caused, not just in my life, not just the woe is me, but when I really looked, I remember one time God gave me a vision that I was walking forward. And I heard, you know, a voice say, turn around. And when I turned around and looked, all I saw was dead bodies behind me. And then from that point on, I've been repenting ever since. Like, Lord, I'm so sorry. Because my disobedience and me being out of order caused other people to fall and caused damage. The Ten Commandments, you know, God gave us the Ten Commandments, and eight of those is how we should treat your brother and your sister. By disobeying, you cause damage in their life and yours. Let me tell you what God says about obedience, okay? So let me go to word here. Samuel, I believe 1 Samuel. Sorry, I didn't put the one, but I believe 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. We all know it. We know this one real good. What is more pleasing to the Lord? Your burnt offerings and sacrifice, or your obedience to his voice. Listen, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering a fat of rams. Hear me. God is telling us, I'd rather for you to obey the command I have spoken to you than your sacrifice. Because back then, they thought they could just disobey and then bring a sacrifice for forgiveness. Hear what I'm saying? Remember, their sacrifice back then was for the forgiveness of their sin. So they felt, I could just disobey what God said, and I'll go find the biggest ram or the biggest calf or whatever, and I'll just sacrifice to God, and he'll forgive me, and we're going to be all good. The word says, I'd rather have you obey first than the sacrifice, okay? So let me bring it home, okay? So since we're not doing the rams and the goats and everything no more, you think going to church is better than you obeying. Maybe you think singing in the choir is going to get you some brownie points. You even think that paying your tithes is a get-out-of-jail-free card. No, God said, I'd rather for you to obey. You want a check mark for your good behavior, but you've been hellish all week? No, obey first. Before you do anything else, I'd rather for you to obey. Obey what? My commandments. Obey what? My instructions in the Bible. Your obedience is better than you coming to church. Your obedience is better than your tithes. Your obedience is better than any ministry you could serve on. Your obedience is better than preach. I don't need those things. I need your obedience. See, I got angels to sing for me. I don't need your voice. I need your obedience. I don't need your church building. I'm up here in a kingdom. I need your obedience. Obey what I have spoken to you. I told you to do something, and you still waiting on two signs, a prophet, and confirmation before you even do it. No, I need you to obey. I'd rather for you to obey because I said so, not because you understand. That's how deep God is with the obedience. And we're the same thing when it comes to our children. So why we think that it's any different with God? They'd be like, why? Because I said so. You're not ready for this level of understanding of why I said what I said. When you get to that level, maybe then I'll explain it to you. But right now, I just need you to do what I told you to do. Because guess what? I know more than you. I know better than you. And who else know more than us but God? Who else know better than us but God? Why is it, listen, Spirit just dropped on me. Yeah, you did it too. I remember when God told me to start Spirit and Truth Ministries, and I was dragging my feet. My goodness, I was dragging my feet. And I was doing the same thing, waiting for four prophets and a confirmation. And I even went to God because I was trained up in the old church way that, you know, your pastor or whoever your leader is, they will also know, God would also speak to them, and they'll confirm, you know, what God said and all this other stuff. So I'm waiting for this confirmation because this is what I was taught. And I kept saying, well, God, I'm not getting the confirmation from my leader like I really want to. And God said, I don't need nobody to confirm nothing I said. Like, ooh, okay, here I come. I'm on my way. And the thing is that that's how hesitant, just is it said, I just had the scripture and I kept talking. Try the spirit and see if it's of God. Still have God. Do you think that God is going to let you fail on a try if you wholeheartedly believe that it was him that said what he said? So I'd rather for you to obey because I said so, not because you fully understand. Yeah, I know these veggies ain't tasting good to your stomach right now. I know. But that's the nudge that we need in order to get back in line. Remember, we cannot use the I don't know excuse no more. No, We can't use the please be patient with me, God ain't through with me excuse no more. No. You obey. Listen, when it comes to anything else, you obey what you want to obey. You listen to who you want to listen to. You do what you want to do. You choose it. Everything else, you actually, if they say that the new Apple phone is coming out and you need to be in line by 5 a.m., you'll obey that. Or Nikes or whatever. I got to laugh because now, you know, the tennis shoes come out and they have, you know, they'll be out in the next 18 hours and people will set their alarm clock. I know because I've done it too for my husband. Set the alarm clock to make sure you up when those tennis shoes come out. Come on, y'all. Why is it that we quick to obey man, but we don't want to obey God? We cannot do that. You keep choosing that role because that's what you want to do, not because, and it's not that you don't have an option. It's not that God's road is not available to you, and it's definitely not that it's not offered. Every day, God's way is an option and available for you. My thing is how and what I do hinders or hurt others. My obedience will hinder or hurt other people. Okay, so let's go to the word about that. Remember Achan and his sin, his disobedience? His sin was disobedience. They say Achan's sin. What was Achan's sin? Disobedience. Because there was a command, there was an instruction, and there was a word on what to do and what not to do, and he chose to disobey. And because of that disobedience, a lot of the soldiers died in a battle that they lost. Okay? So that's the first round of people you hurt. The second is you already know that it's going to go a step further. His whole family, ox, goats, chicken, everything, died because of his disobedience. Come on, my brothers and sisters. I taught on Sunday Romans chapter 12, was it 4 and 5? And the part that says that we are one in Christ and we don't preach that. And the B part, we are one with each other. So we're not just one in Christ. We're one with each other. It's a two-part oneness. In Christ and with each other. In Christ and with each other, which means what you do affects me and what I do affects you. And what we both do affects the entire body of Christ. Come on, we're accountable for one another. The word even say, you know, if your brother's overtaking the fall, you who are spiritual, because we're accountable for one another. Your fall, you understand what I'm saying? Your fall affects me. My fall affects you. We have to be obedient. We have to be obedient to this word. I can't say that it's easy. I can't say that it's hard. I just know that I'm doing the best that I can. Every day asking, God, am I in your will and am I in your plan? God, don't let me do nothing that's not of you. Don't let me hear nothing or speak nothing that's not of you. God, did you say this? Am I still on? You know, I went to a prayer summit, and I loved how they said it, that you are, you're in business. I can't quote it everything right, but I'm just going to say it in my words. But basically, you are in business with God. And he, of course, he is the CEO, and you are the product. And so, therefore, you should always be having a business meeting with the head of the company as to, is the product being represented correctly? Is it being marketed? Is it going out? Do you need to do something else? Do you need to do more? So you got your regular prayer, but you also need to have a business meeting with God. Okay, God, you've called me to be a pastor. Am I doing how you want me to do this? What else do you want me to do? Teach me, show me. What else do I need to learn? What do I need to, do I even need to, you know what I'm saying, bring on more partners? How do I, you know, bring on more partners? And say, you got to have a business meeting with God. We have got to get in line. And then listen, too, I said the blessings. I don't want to forget the blessings. and being obedient. So I was talking to I want to go back to my point. So point one is obedience start with a command, instruction, or a word. So then let me ask you, what did God say? What was the last thing God said to you? Have you been obedient to the last thing that he said to you? Number two, never abort God's plan under no circumstance. Has things gotten rough and hard or this or that and you decided to push aside his plan for your own agenda or push aside the plan because it doesn't seem feasible right now or it's not easy for you right now, you can't abort the plan under no circumstance. Number three, when you are outside of the will of God, you'll start to do crazy stuff. Check your life. Is it in chaos right now? Are you confused? Are you in every which of place and this, that, and the other? You might have stepped outside of the will of God and not obedience to the actual step-by-step instructions he gave you. You can't add in your own steps. And then number four, don't make others suffer because of your disobedience. I could really stay on that one, though. You can't make other people suffer because I look back at my life, and I'm like I said, I made a lot of people suffer, and I just pray that God, hey, you heal them. You deliver them. You set them free from anything that I've done. And so then this last one, there's always blessings for what it is, for being obedient to God. But listen, it has to be consistent. You can't obey today and then go back to your old ways tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? You don't just stay obedient until you get the blessing and then you turn around and you want to check out on God. No, you have to have consistency. And so that's found in Leviticus chapter 26. We know that oh so well. Leviticus 26. And starting at verse 3, and while I'm reading this, if you want to get in on this conversation, you can dial 1, because I'll be closing with this scripture in a few points. You can dial 1 to get in on this conversation, and our host, Pastor E, will let you in. So Leviticus chapter 26, starting at verse 3, says, "If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands," this is what he's going to do. "I will send you the seasonal rains. The land then will yield its crops, and the trees of the field will produce their fruit. Your threshing season will overlap with the grape harvest, and your grape harvest will overlap with the season of planting grain." So you're going to have a whole lot of stuff. You're going to have grapes and grains and wheat and corn and turnip and collard greens, and one is not going to be finished before the next one come in. You will eat your fill and live securely in your own land. I will give you peace in the land, and you will be able to sleep with no cause for fear. I will rid the land of wild animals, those the people, the wild people, animals, and keep your enemies out of your land. In fact, you will chase down your enemies and slaughter them with the sword. 5 will chase 100, and 100 of you will chase 10,000. All your enemies will fall beneath the sword. I will look favorably upon you, making you fertile and multiplying your people, and I will fulfill my covenant with you. You will have such a surplus. Check this out. You will have such a surplus of crops that you will need to clear out the old grain to make room for the new. I will live among you, and I will not despise you. I will walk among you. I will be your God, and you will be my people." Listen, when I started off reading, that verse had 12 letters in it, 12 words in it. If you follow my decrees and be careful to obey my commands. Then that was one verse, and then I read to you, nine verses thereafter of all the blessings. He only asks you to do one small thing. And, of course, if you keep reading, you need to go on and read chapter 26, because then after that it says, however, if you don't obey, this is what's going to happen. So that's in there, too. So I pray that I really drove hard home about obedience, because God really wants us to walk in obedience and not walk, definitely not after the flesh. But there is so much that's happening in the world, and so much that's going to be still yet happening in the world. He needs you to be able to tune into his voice and what he says. And the instructions that he gives, just like he gave Abram, they're going to be short and sweet. It's not going to come with a whole lot. It's going to be short and sweet, and he just needs you to do that part. Do that part, and then the rest will come. We have to be obedient during these times. Also, too, because, again, we have other people that are coming up behind us. We have the millennials that's coming up. They're going to be the next generation that takes over the churches. They're going to be the next generation that preach to us and pray for us and prophesy to us and all that. You can't be the one disobedient and leading the next generation, because then what are you doing is just training them how to be disobedient. There's a way unto man that seems right, but the end thereof is destruction. So dial one and get in on the conversation. I am done with this word for this evening. As Pastor E is there, if anybody's on the phone line, I so enjoyed being with you guys this evening. So enjoyed bringing the word. God has been giving me some difficult words lately, but I do what thus saith the Lord, and he's always giving the warning to his people. So this one was one of those warnings.
Hey, man, this is warning season. if there's anything we should be doing is instituting warnings to ourselves, but then it could be repercussions for all of us. To obey God. Good word tonight, woman of God. Awesome, awesome. God bless you and your husband, your family, your ministry, your job, everything you have going on up there in the northern area of our country. We just love you and appreciate you, and always praying for you and with you.
Yeah.
At all times, at all times. Amen. So what's going on?
Amen. So much.
We haven't chatted for a minute.
I know. Work really has me. As most people know, I'm a Salvation Army chaplain director, and just preparing people. We're doing a lot of exercises on emergency disasters. So I don't know what's coming or what's happening, but I'm
right.
You know, we listening to the signs of the time of what's going on. But they have us in a lot of disaster training, and you know how to set up command posts and everything like that. So. Doing a lot with work, definitely, you know, trying to get the balance together with it. It's only been 90 days I've been married, like I said, so trying to get the balance together.
Right.
Husband started his own little ministry. So
right.
I've been helping him in his ministry and stuff like that. So God is just good. He wants us to put the word out there. We're right now, he just has arrested both of us that, you know, we're speakers of the word everywhere we go. Anyone we encounter, this is what we're doing. It's not about building your church, because, you know, it's still just, you know, a few of us at the church, but it's not about building the church. God wants to make sure that everyone knows he's coming, and you need to be ready.
Yeah. And ready now. Amen.
Yes.
Well, tonight has been awesome. Anybody out there want to get in the conversation, especially that person that doesn't know the Lord, and you heard something that encourages you tonight to say, man, I need to know more about this joy, more about this commitment and agreement, dial one. We would love to speak with you. But if you're just part of the team, you want to shout out to Pastor Valoris tonight, dial one, and we will let you in the broadcast.
Amen.
Now, I know we have over 30. I'm not even scrolling that far. I know we have over 30 on the line. So the word must have been great because, we just got one. Area code 202, last four, 9552. You are live on Women Speak Now with Pastor Valoris.
Good evening, Pastor E and Pastor Valoris. This is Elder Stacy. I'm just so excited about the word you just spoke of, obedience. Not a lot of people want to hear that, but a lot of people want to move forward in the things of God, but we always want to say, God is going to do this for me. God is going to do that for me. Well, what are we going to do to obey what God says?
Yes.
God says we are to serve him with our whole heart and our mind and soul. And how do we do that except for we do exactly what he tells us to do? Otherwise, we are not going to be successful. We will not be profitable. It is going to cause damage to someone else's life, as you said, because somebody's life is connected to us. And we have to make sure that we stand always ready and willing to do what God says. In Isaiah, he says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And the key word is if, meaning that in the event that you do what, in the event that you obey me, then you'll eat the good of the land. However, if you do not obey me, there are other things, as you mentioned, my sister, that will take place. And I just wanted to thank you for being obedient to bring that word to us tonight and feed us thoroughly. Thank you so much.
Amen.
I like what she said, because I wanted to do a teaching. It sounds crazy, but I wanted to do a sermon on the word if. You know what I'm saying? Do you know how many ifs there are in the Bible? Because, again, it's always set before you a choice. And I think we forget that every morning you wake up, you still have to choose God. It's a new day. It's a new choice. It's a new yes. It's a fresh yes every single day. You can't ride on last week's yes. You got to give a fresh yes, because that one's going to get stale, because problems, situations, trials going to come and beat that yes up. It's a choice. Yeah.
Well, the answer to your question is 1,595 times in the King James and 1,420 in other versions, the word if.
Thank you. He said 1,595. I'm going to forever remember
Come
that
on.
Number.
Anybody else want to get in the conversation, dial one now. Elder Stacy will be ministering. Now, this is Women's Appreciation Month at the Now Church, California. Elder Stacy has been with us, it seemed like forever, but I think only about 2 or 3 months, 4 months, somewhere near there. But she's going to be bringing the word Sunday. You guys, if you got a moment, stop by, watch the online streaming of the church service Sunday. We're going to have an awesome time. We got praise dancers. We got a keyboard that's coming out this Sunday, and we're going to have a Holy Ghost good time. So join us for that, and keep Elder Stacy in your prayers. Come on, anybody else, dial one. I know I see some of them. I see my people out here, but where you at? No, when it's a good word, you don't have to keep forcing it. We just know how to just abide in the word of God and to really just see him work. And he's doing that, especially through this network. So I continue to just bless everyone who is a part and is contributing into this ministry, live, online, any way that you're doing. I just want to continue to say thank you, guys, and we're here. I've been putting this out there for everyone. If you're interested in joining the broadcast team, the Now Network, let me know. We have Wednesdays open. We have Fridays open. Well, one Friday, or maybe we're doing some shifting there. Saturdays, we're relaunching Real Talk. We're going to have some real stuff going on on that broadcast on Saturdays. Sundays are open. Mondays, we still have Let's Talk Jesus. We're filled on the third, which is Pastor Anthony Luckett. The fourth, which is Evangelist Virginia Valentine. The first two are open. Tuesdays are wide open. We're thinking about doing we tried to keep it to the men, but my brother's just, I'm going to leave it at that. But any ideas you guys have, please get in contact with me, and let's put a fire back into this network, that we can be reaching the lost and unsaved with this venue and this avenue God has provided us with. Amen. Well, Pastor Valores, mm-hmm. I think you preached us in. Well, nobody dialed one except Elder Stacy this evening. So go ahead and pray us out of here. Any special requests you have going on in your region that we could be in agreement with you and standing with you for, or any events you have going on, please share those things. And definitely share. Someone may be encouraged to sow into Spirit of Truth Ministry tonight. Please share your Cash App. That's always available here that we can sow mm-hmm. into each other. We should be sowing into each other, family. We if you're not doing it, let's start now.
Amen. So Spirit and Truth Ministries, we're still meeting in-person service at 12 noon. If you're in the Milwaukee, Wisconsin area, you can go on my Facebook page to get that information. We thank and praise God for Spirit and Truth Ministries, because out of that is going to be birthing a lot of other things. My husband just started In the Word with Frank Mann on joy1340.com. That's joy1340.com, Wednesday nights at 6:30 p.m. He has a great word in his belly. Also, too, I do have my three books that I've already written for sale right now at $10 each, or all three for $25, because I'm getting ready to get started on the next book, that is Fear Incarcerated Me. And so I always want to make sure that the other books are being promoted before the next one come out. So writing that book, so God is just blessing. The Cash App is $PastorVEE, that you can send any donations to. But right now we just want to do the work of the Lord. And I'm coming real close to you, Pastor E. We're going to be in Phoenix, though, Arizona, next month. So I'm almost there. We were looking at coming to Venice Beach. But my mom has to have surgery, so I'm going to stop in Phoenix, Arizona. So on the next trip, I'm going to get a little bit closer to you and actually be in California. So,
amen, amen.
Pray for us on there. Just a lot of, you know, sicknesses going on in my family. I definitely am going to ask for prayer for my nephew, who is in congestive heart failure. He's only 28 years old. We believe COVID kind of did it. So, please pray for my family, because nobody wants to be waiting for that phone call.
Amen.
But I thank and praise God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. We thank you. We praise you. And God, we thank you for this word of obedience. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that, you know, we begin to chew on it slowly, Lord. It is a lot to digest when it comes to obedience. But Lord, we want to walk your way. We want to talk your way, Lord. We want to speak your way, God. We want everything to be about you and none of us, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking, Father, for my sister or brother that's listening right now, Lord, and need to be reminded of the last, excuse me, the last word that you spoke to them, Lord. Please remind them of that last word, Lord, and not charge it to them, Lord, that they now walk according to the instruction that you have given them for their life, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, we may not always understand, but we thank and praise you, oh God, that all things work together for our good, Lord. And we just have to trust in your promise that it's going to work for our good, Lord. And Father God, we ask, Lord, that you continue to bless Pastor E and the Now Network. Open up all of our hearts and minds, including mine, Lord, to be able to sow into this network, Lord, in order to continue it, Lord. And we ask that you send the people, Lord, to fill up the spots that are needed, Lord, so that your word can always go out, Lord, to anyone that ever dials this number. Your word will be taught and your word will be preached, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. For, Lord, you already set it in motion, Lord. You always set, already set an atmosphere. We thank you for Pastor E's obedience for keeping the Now Network for all of us, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Say, let the rain of your presence fall on me. Come on, clap your hands in the presence of the Lord. Come on, clap your hands in the presence of the Lord. Come on. Let the rain of your presence fall on me. every day that I live.
The rain of your presence. Lift those hands now and worship. Say, love divine.
Joy unspeakable.
Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on, bless the Lord.